Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Susie Larson Live. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we've only covered children's books one other time on the show, basically because the genre doesn't exactly fit with our demographic. But I want to tell you today, we're talking about more than children's books. We're talking about the God who's still a miracle-working God. We're talking about following where He leads, even if it's into unknown places, so that God can use you in new times, new spaces, and new ways. You know what? His purposes prevail because we continue to listen, obey, and follow where He leads. Andrea and Gabe Olson are one such couple following where Jesus leads. They're a husband and wife, they're parents of three daughters, and they're the founders of the Big God Book series, as well as a number of other things that they're doing in the kingdom. My prayer is that by the end of today's show, that you feel inspired to trust God to do great things in and through you, and to even dream with God, to ask Him, what would you want to do in and through me? What are my blind spots? Breathe life in and through me. Show me where you want to take me and help me follow you there. A quick reminder, especially for those of you who listen on an AM signal. We've got AM, FM, we've got online, we've got our free Faith Radio app. But those of you who are diehard AM listeners, you need to know, as we're heading into these winter months, we're going to power down a little bit, and that will affect how clear we come through on your channels. So I'm asking and begging, download the free Faith Radio app. Just go to your app store, search Faith Radio Network, and that way you can listen anytime, anywhere, and you'll get a very clear signal. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Gabe Olson owns a real estate company, and Andrew Olson is a ministry that serves local churches in the area of worship. It's called Overflow Worship. Together through the ministry of Overflow Worship, they travel and assist churches in the area of worship and leadership training. They're the authors of the Big God Book series, which were inspired by real-life moments with their girls. Gabe and Andrea live in Minnesota with their three children. I have them in studio with me today. This is the one time I'll ask you to talk at the same time. Andrea and Gabe, so good to meet you.
Oh, thank you for having us. This is amazing.
Yeah, well, you guys are a delightful couple. I love just meeting people who are doing what God gives them to do and just, you know, being faithful. So what an honor to meet you. Andrew, I'll start with you. What's the Lord been talking about these days?
You know, something that I've been thinking about a lot is Lamentations 3, when He talks about, you know, His mercies, His compassions are new every morning. And that's been something that I've been stewing on for quite a while. And it's something somebody said, I can't even remember exactly which podcast I, you know, heard it on, but it just struck a chord with me. And I've really been thinking about a lot that, you know, this idea of mercies are due every morning. That's something I've heard my whole life, right? And it's something that almost became redundant for me. Like, thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new. I know what that means, but it's like been settling into my soul in a deeper way, because this podcast I was listening to, they said, well, God, not only, it's not that His mercies are new, it's that He gives us mercies catered to that day. So we wake up, and it's like, okay, God knows what I'm about to face in this day. And so not only, you know, does He give me the power of His word and the power of His presence, but He also has gone before me, and He is giving me a catered basket of mercies that are specified for that day. And that to me has just been so overwhelming. And it brought me to a place of gratitude that He cares that much.
So good. You know, that same passage in Lamentations 3, you know, I thought, just my brain sometimes goes places others don't, but I was just, you know, considering the fact that you can't get too close to the sun without it burning up. But in Jesus, you know, the Lord merely spoke and the heavens came to be. The one who created the sun, you know, we can't get close to the sun without burning up, but we can get close to the sun and be refined and, and remade. And I remember just pondering that idea in Lamentations. I think it's 3:20. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. That's why we can draw near to a holy God, because of His great love, we're not consumed. And then His mercies are new every morning. His compassions never fail. I mean, we couldn't be more blessed if we tried. You know, when you think about Jesus in the Gospels, it was His compassion that compelled Him to heal and minister to the human condition. You know, I think it's so good to ponder those kinds of things, to see how personal of a God He really is. So that's beautiful. Thank you, Andrea. How about you, Gabe?
So lately, you know, my brain, like you said it well, goes places others don't sometimes.
we could be friends, probably.
Yes, we should. So I embrace that. And a lot of that is curiosity with the backstory when you read the Bible. And so I'm in Acts and going through it. And, you know, Paul's going to all these different churches, right? He's journeying around and there's stories of stonings or things going well or not. And then in the subtitle of these stories, sometimes it says how long he's there. Right. Like he was here 2 weeks or, you know, he was in Ephesus for 2 years. And what really hit me is when he's somewhere for a long time and he's building this foundation and how God uses time in our lives. Right. In our society. And I for myself, we'll talk about, you know, I want it very quickly. Right. Amazon. I swipe right and it's at my door. You know, it used to be a day. It's two now, you know, whatever it may be. But there is a part of my life that God wants to use time to develop something in my heart and my soul, whether it's to heal it, to encourage me, to teach me something new, to let things sink in. And there's things in life that have to take time to build. So, you know, I've been wrestling around with that. And it's a hard truth for me to grab hold of because I'm very impatient. Right. And I'm very curious about the next thing. And okay, let's move on. Let's figure this out. But to have that, to step back and allow him to use time in my life is something that he's just really been, you know, kind of twisting my brain around.
That's such a good word. And I think it's one we need to hear. We're conditioned to getting things so quickly. But even at my age and stage of life, as I look back, the best miracles, the best stuff God has done has taken time, little mm-hmm. at a time, right? An inch yep. at a time. And then you stand back and go, but the outcome, you know, as you wait for it is so marvelous. It was worth waiting for. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that might have to be a topic of one of your next big God books.
There
That's
we go.
Yeah. Super time. Great. Yeah, mm-hmm. excellent word. Wow. So I'd love a little backstory on your faith journey. Andrew, let's start with you. How did you come to Christ? Maybe you were raised in a Christian home, but mm-hmm. when did he become your everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was raised in a home that was filled with faith and filled with just teachings of the Lord. My parents actually were worship leaders. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up in the church and listening to, you know, Christian radio and just loving that. I don't know, worship music has always just been a special part of my heart. But I think that where it really he started to really become real to me was when I was in college mm-hmm. because I went to Biola University across the country in California. And so I left my home, my little town in Litchfield, and I was out there all by myself. And I think that for some reason, God put a spark in me to want to do that, to want to get away, because I probably never would have done it otherwise. I would have been fine to stay in the comfort of my familiar surroundings. And it was there that God finally got a hold of me. And I really started to see who he was and who he had created me to be, because I didn't have anybody else. You know, I didn't know anybody out there. And so I remember I would go, there was this little prayer room in our dorm, and I would go and I would just, there was always music playing in there, and it was, you know, kind of dim lighting, and they just had this room that set aside for people who wanted to pray at any time of the day, 24 hours a day. And I would go sit in there, and I just had the sweetest times with the Lord there. He revealed himself to me in ways that I had never experienced before. And I think it's because I was so desperate for somebody to know me and for somebody to know the deepest parts of me that I was just fully open because I didn't have anybody else. So I feel like that was kind of the start for me of that journey of, you know, when he really became real to me and my journey with him really started to grow deeper and deeper.
That's so beautiful, Andrew. And I'm thinking how often we avoid uncomfortable situations. We avoid desperate situations. We try to manage our life in such a way so we don't feel desperate. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, for you to be willing to follow God, follow the Lord, the other side of the country, coming from a small town because you felt led, and then coming to that desperate place where God actually meets you in there and you know, sets you ablaze. I just think that is so powerful. How about you, Gabe?
I'm a pastor's kid, born and raised in the pew, and all the fun things that go along with that. And you know, introduced to faith at a young age and really being handed this gift of belief was really good. Yeah, so raised in that. And in seventh grade, I attended actually a Dave Reaver crusade, and he was speaking and he'd play the piano, he'd take off his ear. I don't know if you were ever part of those, and he'd play the piano with it or whatever it may be.
I don't know this guy, but he sounds interesting.
Oh, he took
off his ear, his literal ear?
It was Vietnam. I think it was Vietnam where he had a grenade blow up on him.
Whoa.
So his whole face was, messed up in his hands and his ear, and he had a lot of surgery. And, part of his story is, hey, if God can love me, he can love anyone. Mm-hmm. And he is just an amazing guy. I mean, you guys can Google him. He's pretty cool. But anyway, God did something in my heart then, and it was a choice because I was really aware of what the God, growing up in church, all that, and being a pastor's kid, was expected of me and what the gospel was. But I had to decide if it was going to be mine or not. And at that point, I decided it was going to be mine, and really set on a journey from there to understand that. And of course, I'm still on that journey, and I feel like I could say, well, in the last 3 years, I've realized that more than ever in my life, which, praise God, he has his grace and he continues to grow me in that. But as far as the initial experience, I would say that would be the spot in my life that I'd point to.
So great. Again, both of you put yourself in a position. You were willing to go to this gathering. You were willing to follow God. And man, if we serve our comfort zones to the point where that's our goal, we miss out on so much. So I love that you both positioned yourself like in the path of promise so God can meet you there. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to jump ahead in their story. So here they're married. I don't know, at this point, you probably had your kids at this point where you were on staff, Gabe, at the church. Did you have all three kids at that time?
Yes.
Yeah. So they've got three little girls, but he's on staff. She's volunteering as a staff member at church. And then the winds of change started to blow. And we want to just talk about what that looked like, what that felt like, how God led them out, how the book series was born of the Big God books. And really, one of the things I noticed in the promo material is they want to preserve the idea that God is still a miracle-working God. We want to really leave that legacy with our kids to open their eyes, to really believe he's still a miracle-working God. So I guess I'd love some of your stories of where you saw that no one can tell you different. That was God. I want to hear from that. That's Gabe and Andrea Olson are my guests. We'll be back with them in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Every once in a while, we like to tell everyday stories of just kingdom people doing their best to follow Jesus where he leads, and then you just see what happens. And Gabe and Andrea Olson are one such couple. Gabe works in real estate. He used to be on staff as an associate pastor. I'll let him tell about that at his church. And Andrea was volunteering. She's got a worship ministry. Were you leading worship at church at that time?
Yes,
so,
I was.
Yeah, and so this was a big old step for you two to, because even then you're doing kingdom work, but then you get the sense that changes are coming and God kind of rearranges your life a bit. And one of the things that was born out of their just following Jesus where he leads is this Big God book series. And I'm looking right now at a series, A Little Love, The Little Church, and A Little Lunch. And we'll talk about those and just what your hope and desire is. But Gabe, I want to go to you. So you're on staff at church. How and when did you guys get a sense that, oh my goodness, because this is good. This is good ministry. But when did you get a sense, oh my goodness, he might have something else for us?
Well, the beautiful thing about God is, he prompts us along the way. Looking back at it, you feel the turning in your spirit a while before that happens, because whether I'm hard-headed or he is super gracious or both, which is the case, he starts that in your spirit. So it did happen probably a year and a half before. You kind of feel this churning, saying there's a new time coming.
Wow.
And God is up to something different. And then that just develops, and we're in the relationship with staff was great. My dad was actually the senior pastor at that time. So, there was a openness to talk about, hey, this is going on, and what do I do with this? You should be aware of this. And what is God calling us to? And we had actually dipped our toes in the water, so to speak, before, we launched full into it. where we had been, I don't know what, Andrea, was it 5 or 6 months that we had been kind of going out to churches and working outside of our congregation with other people and expanding the ministry. And then after that, you know, when we decided, hey, now is the time, we feel God's calling, you know, I think the same week we stepped down from our roles there, our calendar, it was full for the next 3 months. And it was just, we didn't quite know what to do with it, to be honest. And we learned that going every week to different churches, it might sound okay, but it's really a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
So
absolutely.
He tossed a lot through that. But that's a little bit of the story.
Yeah, I love that. What I love, too, is the backstory of he was preparing. There was a sense of newness in your heart. He's confirming it through your word, you know, his word. So people looking at you, not hearing from you, may not see anything different, but you know something different is happening on the inside. Yep. I just think I'm so intrigued how God does that. So how about for you? What was stirring in you during that time?
Yeah, well, I love how you put that, Gabriel, because it was his grace, you know, turning our hearts slowly. And I mean, I'm the type of person where like, he's like, where do you want to go for dinner? I'm like, oh, let me think about it. So like, it's really God's grace probably over me because he's really good about, you know, like being firm in those decisions. And I just need a little time to process and make sure that that's the way we're supposed to go. But I had been working with a lot of churches through the ministry of Overflow Worship and just seeing that there was a great need for support and encouragement and training. And I just felt like this bubbling inside of me of excitement, like what is God doing? And what is this passion that he's stirring in my heart to step outside of the four walls of that current congregation that we were in? But it was also, I had been mentoring this young worship leader inside of our church, knowing full well that she could take it over, like she could do it. And it was like, we looked at each other and it was like, it's time.
Wow.
We're ready. And she's ready.
And she's ready.
It's God's time for her as well.
And I love that.
And it was this realization too for us that it's like, man, we can be so, well, I'll speak for me. I can be so selfish when I'm thinking about, God, what do you have for me? Like, what is the, you know, all the things about me. And it's just this realization that this has nothing to do with me and everything to do with what he wants to do in and through the church that we are stepping away from. And also what he wants to do in and through the churches that he's calling us to serve and to minister to, and then in and through our family. But it was just this beautiful slow turn of the wheel, but this massive perspective shift of like, this isn't about me. This is what he's raising up in this church that we're stepping away from and what he's doing in the future in both of us. And so it was just this really amazing perspective shift and this amazing process.
I just love those kinds of stories. And the reason I think that's so important, I've been saying on the show probably the last year and a half, God's repositioning his saints. And there are many people sensing the winds of change blowing, but it terrifies them because they're risk averse. So I love how you guys put that, but there was a first internal stirring and then an outward confirmation that all the while you've been, you know, training up your replacement. So for folks who maybe want a little more information, Overflow Worship, it's a ministry where you're helping churches, especially you said during, before the show even started, Andrea, that, you know, during COVID, you know, churches haven't fully recovered as far as their numbers. A lot of people haven't come back and a lot of the worship leaders haven't come back. And so you're starting with a whole new group of people, training up new leaders. I mean, talk about that dynamic and how your ministry is addressing that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an overwhelming job to step into. A lot of people think that it's just Sunday morning singing and then you go home, but that's not it at all. It's much like with pastors, like it's every single day you're kind of in that world of, you know, team management, volunteer management, scheduling. There's a lot of administrative work that people don't realize exists. And so my heart is to come alongside of worship leaders through the ministry of Overflow Worship and help them with those practical tools. So there's a lot of really super practical things that we do because we get messages from people over and over again, something to the effect of, hey, my pastor just found out that I sing, or my pastor just found out that I used to lead worship and they're asking me to step into this and I don't know where to start. And so really coming alongside of those people and helping them build from the ground up, or for people who have been doing it for a while, but they're trying to rebuild, just helping them with the resources, the tools, and hey, the encouragement. Look, you're not alone. Let us pray for you. Let us just, you know, point you to different people that may be able to help you if we can't, but to just really be a resource center for people to come.
That's so amazing. And you call it overflow. Talk about that, because, you know, there's times we're ministering, we feel like we're ministering on empty, but it's not a state that God wants us. I mean, there are times you show up and I marvel at his grace and kindness to use us anyway, but there is something about that abiding life where he wants us to minister in the overflow. So talk about why you chose that word to title your ministry.
Yes. Yeah. It's something that I talk about all the time, especially with young worship leaders, you know, teenagers who are wanting to step into that role someday, or they're doing it on their youth worship team, is that you cannot survive in ministry and worship ministry and life in general, but just in my lens here, worship ministry, if you are not spending time in the secret place.
That's right.
You have to be refilling. You have to be spending that time there, because eventually, like you said, we will get to that place where we're leading from complete emptiness. And that's not what God has for us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want that for us. And that's where burnout comes from. That's where, you know, all of the exhaustion that that can happen, that's where it starts. And so that's why I chose overflow, because my heart and my prayer is that people would lead from the overflow, not from the overwhelm, not from emptiness.
That's so, so good. Another thing, I feel like COVID in the last couple of years have shaken this up a bit, but prior to that, there was so much celebrity Christianity going on where people were longing for the platform for the wrong reasons, you know? I want to just get to the stage because I'm a musician, and same with speaking, being an author, all that other stuff. But I think the shaking has helped to bring some soberness. That's why I love the overflow idea, because it really comes from our time and our place with the Lord. Just got a few minutes before the bottom of the hour break, but your hubby's so proud of you, and he mentioned an online course, I think, that you developed. Say a word about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called the Overflow Worship Leaders Startup Toolkit. And basically what it is it's an online self-paced video course for people who are new worship leaders or a newly positioned worship leader. It's a brand new church. And it basically just is a foundations course. So everything from spiritual foundations to leadership, all the way to like the admin and the strategic foundations that we absolutely need in that type of position, but nobody ever says that you need them until you're in it and you're super overwhelmed. And so I just want to provide people with that baseline to really feel like they're starting a little bit ahead.
I think that's so great. And you say you mainly serve churches of 500 and under,
yes,
which we were saying during the break, that's pretty much most churches. So
yes. Mm-hmm.
What is your vision? And we'll put a link in the show notes as well to your ministry and to that online course so people can see that. But what is your hope and your dream, your vision for Overflow?
You know, it's really to provide that encouragement to worship leaders to know that there's people behind them praying for them, you know, cheering them on, that we would be a place that they can go and feel like it's a safe place, a safe community to grow, to learn, and to commune with other people. I love at our conference every year seeing people come together in person and just rubbing shoulders with each other. And that is my heart, that it would be a community of people that could come together and realize, like, I'm not alone, because I know this person and this person and this person who are in the same boat dealing with some of the same struggles, and I can go to them and chat with them. And I think that that's something so powerful about community in that way.
Boy, that's so good. And I love how just unique your calling is. You know, I don't know if you've ever listened to any of Jimmy Evans' stuff, but he does a lot on end times, you know, theology, and he works with marriages. Those are his two things, you know. My thing is so much about deeper life in Christ, but health and healing in the healing process, because of my struggle really does mark a lot of my ministry. I want so much to relieve the suffering of many. And what's so interesting is out of your ministry, out of the overflow has come these books for children. So I just love how uniquely God uses us. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how these books were born, how to preserve a legacy, how do we impart faith to our children and our grandchildren so that they truly believe with all their heart that God is still a miracle working God. What a concept, right? It's true. And we want our kids to know it. More with Gabe and Andrea Olson in just a moment.
I am here, I am loved, God is good, and that's enough.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. My guests today are Gabe and Andrea Olson. I love what we're once in a while highlighting everyday faith heroes. They're boots on the ground, living their faith, following Jesus, serving in the kingdom in really humble, bold, and beautiful ways. And Gabe was on staff at his church, paid staff member, and Andrea was volunteering as a worship leader. They have three little girls, and the Lord just led them out. And Andrea, well, together they launched Overflow Worship, but Andrea really is serving all these different churches, helping them rebuild their worship teams, giving practical advice and encouragement and training. As she said at last segment, the church really, there's so few people that, I mean, the percentage of folks who've stayed gone, even those who served on worship teams, aren't coming back, that they're having to raise up all new level of worship leaders. So that's one of the things she's doing. We have a link in the show notes to Overflow Worship, and she also has an online course. If you have a heart and a desire to step up and serve your church that way, Gabe serves as a real estate guy, for lack of a better phrase.
He's a real estate dude. There we go.
Okay, but now we're going to transition. So I loved their backstory of how they were serving in church, doing a lot, but God was giving them a sense of newness. I got something else for you. So imagine leaving the safety, so to speak, the safety net. I mean, you're serving, you got your salary or whatever, and you're stepping out to trust the Lord. And here you are in a new season now, running this Overflow ministry. You're doing real estate. And then somewhere along the line, God puts on your heart to publish some books. And I'll go with you, Gabe, first. How did this come up?
This came up through, I was involved in an entrepreneurial coaching program. And the coach talked about it's one thing to give, you know, money and resources to the next generation. It's another thing to pass on your values and your beliefs and things that have happened in your life. So he encouraged us as people and entrepreneurs and organizations to define and brand things that you want to pass on, ideas or concepts. And for us, it was the thought of miracles. And what stories do we want to tell our girls? And more importantly, how does that affect their lives? Were they a part of this? Were they around with these miracles when they happened? So we begin to think about this, and I kind of stumbled around for a couple of years trying to figure it out, and, you know, wrote some stories, but they weren't that amazing. And then Andrea came along, and we were talking, and really decided to dive into this. And she's a songwriter and super creative, and, you know, by far better at all of that than I am. And she really takes it and forms it and pushes it through to the finish line. But we've had just a great time thinking about these concepts and these ideas that we want our girls to know. So when they look back, it's like, do you remember this story? You know, whether it's a little church or a little love, and that triggers something in their brain. Mm-hmm. That was a miracle I experienced. And that's that's something that I have to reconcile in my life. A lot of times we use the story of the Red Sea with Israelites, right? You know, they're crossing the Red Sea, and you could go talk to one of them. And you could say to them, well, you know, that's a nice story. I'm glad you believe that you crossed the Red Sea, you know, but I don't know if it happened, or I don't know if that was real. And they would just look at you and they'd be like, are you kidding me?
Right.
I reached out and I touched the wall of water.
Yeah.
You know, you're nuts. So that's what we want to give our kids with this. Just that thought that I was there, I experienced this miracle. I have to do something with this the rest of my life, no matter what somebody may say, if it's true or untrue, this is something that I experienced. So that's kind of the beginning of it.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Mm. You know, nobody
exactly
can dispute your story. So did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think the thing for us is, you know, he talks about the Old Testament and the stories of miracles all through the Bible that we know and we read about. And for us, we wanted to have this monument for our girls. You know, like in the Old Testament, it's like they would build this altar and they would say, well, it's here, so that when your kids ask you, why is that there? You can tell them. Mm-hmm. And that's really what these books are. And honestly, we never intended for them to go outside of our family. Like when we initially wrote them, it was like, this is for our girls. This is something really special for our family. But we realized the more people that started to find out about it, or we started to tell, you know, family and friends, and as word got out, we realized that this was a God idea. This is a opportunity for us to spread hope to people that God really does still work miracles. He's doing them today. It's not something that only happened in the past, and that's something that brings so much hope in a world that, you know, is pretty hard.
Oh, good for you. How did you know what next steps to take?
I didn't know all of the steps. I just knew that I was going to be tenacious and perseverant because a lot of people told me that it couldn't be done from a self-publishing route.
Did you self-publish?
We did.
Wow, okay.
And so it was a journey. Since I self-publish music, mm-hmm. I thought it would be the same, but it's not at all. I mean, you know, you're in the book world. And so it was just a step-by-step process of asking the Lord, okay, what do we do next? And so it started with, you know, an editor, which then opened the doors for us to find an illustrator. And, you know, just we learned as we went and just were very open-handed with like, okay, Lord, we hit a wall. We don't know what to do. And he was so faithful to open the next door and show us the next step or provide the next resource.
And how did he fund it?
Well, through
real estate.
Through real estate.
Kept working.
Come on, Gabe.
Yep.
Wow.
Just said,
wow.
God, whatever you provide for us, we will use for, you know, for this and for ministry. And so he just continues to show himself so faithful through that. And so it's like, okay, he gave us the resources for the next book. So here we go. Let's go.
Wow. So initially you did these for your kids and then others started to see him. What was the response?
It was just kind of, I mean, I don't say this in a bad way, but kind of surprising. We didn't expect it that people were resonating with the stories and that they were saying how they opened up conversations in their homes. Mm. And that's what we want. Like the back page of the book has conversation starters. Mm. And that's what we want. We want people to talk about these things. How did this story make you feel? Or have you ever been in a situation like that? Because they're not only, the stories are not only like the big miracles that we think of, you know, the physical manifestations, but they're also stories of how God works in ways that maybe we didn't expect or we didn't get what we asked for, but we got what we needed. Mm. And that's a really valuable conversation for us to have in our homes too.
All right, Gabe, so you've got the title A Little Love, The Little Church, A Little Lunch. Maybe tell me about one of those stories and what the miracle is.
Sounds good. I'll tell you about the first one, A Little Church. So when we were on staff there was a building project going on. They were adding on to the sanctuary. I have a background, like I said, in real estate and construction. So this is closer to my heart. I volunteered to general contract the building for them. And we had the day where we were setting rafters, you know, so you got the big crane up there and these big things dangling in there and they're putting them down. And we look off into the distance and there's this big storm coming. And they're not all fastened down. They're not, you know, anywhere pretty or anything. They're just kind of sitting there. And what essentially would happen if the storm came and the winds blew, they'd just all fall over, right? And the crane would tip over. And there's no way we could fasten them fast enough or get them down fast enough. So we stood there and we looked. And I was actually on top of the roof at that time looking out there. And you could see about a mile out from a circle all the way around the church, rain everywhere. And a storm everywhere, but there was a wall, and it never hit the church. And
wow.
Even the crane operator, he was an unbeliever, and he just looked up and goes, "I don't know what you guys got going on here, but I can't argue with this, right?" You
wow.
know,
yeah.
We got a picture of the radar. Andrea was driving by on the highway, which was just on the other side of that mile, so
yeah.
She's in the rain and the storm, and she's looking at her phone.
I was bringing you food, and I'm yeah. like, what is happening? Rain, and then it just stopped as yep. I pulled up to the
wow.
church, and it was...
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow. And you're standing on a building with a storm coming, but you are a man of God.
Yeah, I don't know. Yep.
That is awesome. Okay, tell me about one of the other ones, Little Church, or that he just did that, Little Love or Little Lunch.
Yeah. Well, I will share about A Little Lunch. That's the second book in this series. And, you know, I've talked about Overflow Worship and the conference that I host every year for worship leaders. And this story is inspired by our very first conference in 2014. I felt the Lord prompting me to take a lot of big leaps of faith. The first one being having the conference, even without any funding backing. I mean, we didn't have the money to cover it either, but I just felt like the Lord was like, you need to take this step in faith. And so we did. And one of the things that was very specific is I really felt like there was this specific number of people I was supposed to pray for. And so in my mind, I thought like, that's how many people are going to be there. Like, you know, like I'm going to pray. And I prayed for 250 people. Like that's what I prayed for. I prayed that we have 250 people in the building. And so when it came time to order catering, we were funding this personally and we didn't have enough money to buy 250 lunches if we didn't sell 250 tickets. And I remember, you know, I was like internally just I was twisted up and just so stressed out. I was very pregnant also.
It was a lot.
Mm-hmm. But I looked at him and I was like, I don't know what to do. And he's so good at leveling my head. Mm-hmm. He was like, all right, when you get to the end of this, do you want to say that I cry every time? Do you want to say that you swung for the fences, or do you want to say that you played it safe?
Mm, wow. Good job.
And I was like, okay. Mm. I knew. And so I ordered the 250 lunches, and we did not have 250 people there. And there was maybe about 70 or 75. It's a very small conference. And looking back, it was exactly what I could handle. But here's the thing. And here's the concept that, we took this story and reframed it in a way that kids can relate with. The book talks about planning a party. And what happened was there was this ministry in the hosting church who needed lunches.
Wow.
And they were having an outreach event the next day.
Wow.
And it was like, are you kidding me? I have 200 or, 175 lunches. Can you guys keep them in your fridge? Yeah, we can figure out how to store them. And so God used my prayers, our prayers, and the miracle we prayed for to be somebody else's miracle. And I didn't see it at the time. It took me 4 or 5 years to really realize, how powerful that was and impactful it was for my journey. Mm. But that's, that's kind of the real life story behind this book.
Oh, I love it so much. Okay, Gabe, how about A Little Love?
A Little Love is about a boy whose best friend moves away. And it's the story about if you put yourself in the little boy's shoes, what would he want? He would be asking God that his best friend wouldn't move, or his best friend's dad or mom wouldn't get the job, or their house wouldn't sell. And he would be praying all these prayers. And throughout the story, you see that God positioned someone else, Auntie Sue, in his life that was there the whole time, giving him the love that he needs, the friendship that he needs, some of the security, some of the relief from that situation. And he wasn't praying for Auntie Sue. He wasn't praying for anything like that. But even though he may have asked for something, God already had something else in mind that fit him better, that served his need. And what I love about this book, we've had some really cool conversations around that one. That one just released,
September.
So it's fresh on our mind because it's such a tangible way so many people move and so many people have this experience. And we've had conversations with families on both sides of that. Hey, we were the people who moved away and our prayers were this. And we got to say, well, what does God think about this? How did God prepare us for moving? And what did he do that we weren't paying attention for? So that's been a really cool thing for us to interact with people on.
What's your next one? Do you have one in your heart right now?
It's already done.
Yeah. Wow. It's like in the hopper waiting. It's called A Little Money.
Hmm.
And it was inspired by the story of very miraculous provision that we had early on in our marriage, where we accidentally tithed twice. I wrote the check. He wrote the check.
Oh, I love it.
And it's like, we're driving home.
What?
And we don't have money for rent. We literally were hand to mouth. We had no extra dollars.
Oh, I love this story.
And I mean, my mind, I was like, we need to go back and ask for our check.
Can we talk to the church? I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. And he was just so resolute and faith filled. He was like, I know we're supposed to leave it.
I think you give me more credit than I deserve on some of these.
Yeah.
But thank you.
And I just was so I felt peace in that too. And so we left it not knowing really honestly how we were going to pay our bills. And the next day, I'm pretty sure it was the next day or the following, we were driving. I remember where we were in our green little Jetta. We were headed, to, I think, my parents' house, and he gets a phone call and he starts crying. And I'm thinking something awful has happened because he's not a crier. And he gets off the phone and he's like, somebody just walked into the church office and gave a check specifically for us for twice what we double tithed. And it was like, I mean, we could have lived off that for 2 months, There's no denying. I mean, the miraculous provision of the Lord.
So good. I love stories like that. When we come back, I'd love to have you just look over your shoulder at some of your journey and, the big and the small miracles, others that just where you just confirm again and again God's faithfulness and what you want to impart to your kids. When they launch, what do you want them to remember about you and about God? We'll talk about that in a minute. What a great conversation with Gabe and Andrea Olson. Again, we've got a link in the show notes for her ministry, or their ministry, but is that, I want to say that correctly, Overflow Worship, where you're really doing the kind of the upfront work.
Behind, yes.
Yeah. And all right, we'll have more about that on the show page, so you'll see their information on the ministry. Gabe and Andrea Olson are my guests. The books we're talking about today, A Little Love, A Little Church, A Little Lunch. We've got, Angie, a good stack to give away, right? I forgot to mention, got 5 copies to give away. So you can text the word book to get 6 copies to give away. How about these 3? Are these going? So we have 1 full set of the 3 books and then a bunch of others, right? Or a good handful. So text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So this is the first I've mentioned at all shows. So if you're listening now, you're getting in, right? Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. This is a Faith Radio produced podcast. You can find out more about Faith Radio and get some really fun goodies if you sign up for our free welcome pack at myfaithradio.com.
Miracles, oh miracles, count your miracles, 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all.
Hope you're having a really great day. We are having a fantastic conversation with Gabe and Andrea Olson. Really love highlighting everyday stories of kingdom people living out their faith in such creative and beautiful ways. And what I love about this story, as I mentioned earlier, is just the diversity in your calling. I mean, Gabe, you're working, you were on staff at your church, but you have a construction background and you're in real estate. And Andrea, you guys are doing this worship overflow worship ministry where you're supporting and coming alongside all these churches that are, you know, restructuring and rebuilding their worship teams. And you have 3 beautiful daughters. You wanted to leave a legacy of a God who performs miracles. So we've been highlighting these children's books that are just beautiful, beautifully illustrated. A Little Love, The Little Church, A Little Lunch. And if you are just tuning in, once the live show is over, go back and catch the podcast. You can hear the backstory and the miracles, the real true stories that inspired these books. And we got a handful of copies to give away. If you want one for your grandchild or your child, text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Gabe, you know, as the head of the home, basically loving your wife and parenting 3 daughters in this kind of day, when you look back over your shoulder at some of the other times where God just showed himself faithful, what are some of the times that come to mind for you?
There's so many of them. I'll talk about something actually more recent that God's been doing in my life. And, you know, we talked a little bit about what do we want to give our girls in the future and what would you want them to know about God and all that. And one of the things that I'm learning and have learned more specifically over the past year is that God wants to be with us in the good times, but in the hard times. And for me, it hit deeper that, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I sometimes feel like my problems, I have, whether it's guilt or shame about the problems, I feel like nobody would want to be in that with me. Right. Like, this is my stuff. Why would anybody want to be part of my life if I'm dealing with this? I have nothing to offer them except garbage or junk or whatever you want to call it. But the fact that we have a God who's willing to sit in that with us and journey through it with us, it's simply amazing. Because I, as a person, wouldn't do that. I don't go looking for relationships where I can, oh, wow, it looks like there's a lot of problems over there. Right. I'm going to go sit with them. You know,
I love dysfunction.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, more dysfunction. Please, come here. You know, that's not me. But to have a God who cares and loves his kids that much, if I could relay that, that would be amazing as far as a parent and telling my girls that.
That's great. How about you?
You know, I've been thinking a lot recently about just us coming down into our girls' world more and like thinking about, you know, with these books and how they really are meant to step into our kids' world and help them tackle some of these complex or complicated concepts like miracles, faith, and prayer, and just really open up that conversation. And I guess for me, what God's been teaching me is that he is such a relational God. I talked about that a little bit at the beginning, but he really does care. He cares about the big things. He cares about the small things. And I think that's something that I've always known, but it's like soaking into my core as I grow. And so I want that for my girls. I want them to know that he cares about the big things. He cares about the small things. And I think for me, realizing too, that, you know, right now my 5-year-old, her big thing is that she fell and scraped her knee. Like, that is the biggest thing that happened. And so stepping in and being like, you know, I care about this, but also God cares mm-hmm. about this, and mm-hmm. he cares about every aspect of our lives. And he's just been reminding me of that and showing himself so faithful. There's so many times in the last few years that I'm just like, God, you didn't have to do that. Mm, that
so
was
sweet.
So kind. So wow. That's what I really want them to know.
Mm. How have your girls responded to these books, especially your older ones?
You know, they love them. And I think it's fun for them to point out the characters in the book or to point out different spots in the book where it's like, oh, I remember that. Or, you know, the book A Little Love is inspired by a very special person in our lives, and they know her well. Mm. And they see her every week. And so for them to be able to make that connection has been really, really special. But just, you know, we have, like we said, we have the copies in the vault of book number 4. And so my 5-year-old just brought it to me yesterday and was like, will you read this? Because she knows that this is a real story that really happened. And I think it's inspiring for them.
So good. Gabe, what would you say to the person listening today who does sense, just like you described early in the show, newness within, like change is coming. There's nothing outward that's confirming it yet, but I'm sensing the winds of change blowing in my spirit. But they're scared to walk out, step out of a quote, sure thing. Yep. Nothing is a sure thing, but it feels like that if there's income. Stable income. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have?
I may not be the popular advice, I guess, but I would say, you know, God has put that there for a reason, right? He doesn't do anything without a reason. And I would say, take the next step. You don't have to have it all figured out yet. The fear is not going to go away. God gives you the ability to walk in that fear, to overcome that fear when need be. And courage isn't the absence of fear. It's stepping through that. So I would say take one step, one thing, figure out what the next step is and take that one. And then after that, take the next one. Mm-hmm. So I think we get too involved in having to know the grand scheme and the big plans. And God wants to journey through it with us. Mm. So take one step, even though you're afraid. Even though you don't know how it's going to turn out, even though the money may not be there or the resources or the job or your family may not approve, whatever it may be, just take that one step.
How did you see God's provision when you stepped away from your steady income? How did that happen at first?
Well, at first, it looked like a lot of hard work at first, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, we started in the real estate world, and we started when, you know, banks, we started with individual houses and banks were kind of giving them away to get them off their books. And our goal was to buy, rehab, and flip and rent out house one a month. So it was
wow.
a lot of long nights and a lot of hard work and a lot of grace from Andrea of me, you know, not being home on time for supper sometimes. But, you know, it was the step. It was the one thing. I didn't know how it was going to end up. I didn't have a grand scheme. It was like, okay, this month I got to do one house and that's what I'm going to do. And today I get to, you know, install a toilet or clean out a basement full of sewer or whatever it may be. It was the first step.
Wow, that's amazing. When you think about the times we're in and just what our children are facing these days, Andrea, what would you say to the parents who feel so afraid of what's happening in culture and even in education?
Yeah, you know, I would say just remember that there's power in what happens inside the four walls of your home.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so whatever that looks like for you, you know, take a step today, and maybe you're a family that doesn't pray at all together. Well, maybe you could start today by saying a prayer together. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate it and think, well, I don't pray very fancy, or, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know all the scriptures. It doesn't matter. There's that relational God again, right?
Yep.
He just wants to hear from us. And I think that in those moments, our children surprise us too with their faith, and they challenge me every single day to be more faith filled. And so I would just say, just don't dismiss the power of what happens inside your home, and that you can affect whether you homeschool, your kids go to public school, or they, you know, it doesn't matter. You can affect their lives in such a powerful way by starting with one thing. So maybe you pray, or maybe you start with what you're grateful for. That's something that we do every day in our home, and it's powerful because it sets the stage for our relationship with the Lord and our prayer lives with Him.
And it reminds you that He's good. You know, when our kids are used to practicing gratitude, it's like, wait, I'm cared for. I have blessings in my life. Mm-hmm. And it kind of weeds out the ingratitude and entitlement. Well, you guys have been absolutely delightful, truly delightful.
This is so fun.
I just honor the gift of God in you and the way that you're so faithfully serving him and dwelling in the land and feeding on God's faithfulness. That's what God calls us to do. So I just bless you and thank you for the time today.
Thank you so much. We're so honored. Thank you.
So good conversation. Gabe and Andrea Olson, do you have a website where they could find you if they wanted to learn more about you?
Yeah. I mean, with the books, they can head to thebiggodbooks.com and find everything you would want to know about the books. And there's links to Overflow Worship and everything like that kind of in there as they weave through.
Good. Yeah. Again, the titles are A Little Love, The Little Church, A Little Lunch, and A Little Money's Coming, right?
It is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I pray you found some encouragement here. I pray you have the guts and the courage and the faith to step out as God leads you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Suzy Larson Live podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast now at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live.